Welcome to Girls in Heels. Today we're going to try and talk about some dog drama that went on in Nicole's life. Teresa is going to lay down some science.
Yeah.
She has some science that concerns the holidays. And I made an observation about these two, and really myself as well, that I just listened to a bunch of our podcasts, like in a row, and I made an observation about us that I really must share with you. And it's
these two.
It's a little disturbing, frankly.
Oh, no.
It really is.
As you know,
this podcast has a life of its own, and we end up God knows where. Anyway, those are the things we're going to try to talk about. I'm guessing we get to none of them, as usual. But anyway, I'm your host, Cooper Lawrence, if you're just joining us, and my co-host, Teresa Aprea, and Nicole
Napolitano. Hello, everybody.
Yay, little girls.
Woo-woo.
Okay, here's my favorite thing about the way today started. By the way, we're in a different studio than we normally are in, which is fine. We don't care. We're just happy to be doing this, right? We don't care what studio.
Yes, absolutely.
But the studio we're in today, for some reason, the girls have chosen to sit basically like they were in the womb. Like, I don't know.
In utero, yes.
In utero, yeah. I mean, you guys are sitting very, very close. And Teresa sat down first. So is she the older? I forgot to ask.
No, I am. I'm 2 minutes older.
Oh, wow.
I think I'm the more dominant one.
Are you?
You're the alpha, T?
I think I'm the alpha. No, but you know what? I know Nicole so well. So when she was going across the way to sit, I'm like, I know she's going to come back here because I just felt this certain energy in the room. Like, I knew she was going to want to sit there with that mic.
Yeah, because it's further away from the window, and I like when you're directly in front of me, and Teresa is direct, like right next to me.
I like looking at the two of you, right? Because I sit by the board, I run the board, I like to look at you guys. I'm a control freak.
Yeah, I agree. You are,
and
you're at the controls.
I'm at the
observation.
So you know, and you know, I'll tell you something. I learned something very early in radio. By the way, but whose mic is who? So I know who's. Because Nicole, I can't hear it all that well.
Can you hear me now?
Let's turn her up a little bit.
Can
Dennis.
You hear me now?
Because Dennis is still
like
here.
Yeah.
Dennis with the
nine inch Dennis.
Dennis is still here right now.
People are going to think we're bad, and it's not dirty. If people listen to last week's podcast 2 weeks ago and know who Nine Inch Dennis is, it's not
risque at all. Exactly. But did you get any dates out of it, Dennis?
Did you get any dates out of it? They'd like to know. No, not yet. Not yet.
Not yet.
But we're
okay,
working on
not
it.
Yet.
Yeah. Now, here, can I just tell you first the observation I made about you
Please
two
do.
And me as well?
Okay.
We have a way, and I'm going to blame Teresa.
Yes.
We have a way, Teresa, of making anything sound dirty.
I know.
But like anything.
But it's not.
just that's a really good example. We were talking about the distance of Dennis's nipples were 9 inches, and now he's 9 inch Dennis, and that's what everyone calls him, and they assume that it means something else.
Right, something vulgar, which it's not. But you know what? I thought the same thing. I was listening and I go, oh my gosh, like it really is fun and it's innocent and it's just, it's us. It's a talk show and we're having a blast. And I thought the same thing. I was listening about 2 weeks. Last week was good. Last week, I don't think there were too many sexual undertones
everything
or connotations.
Said, everything.
Literally. We were talking about happiness and the power of gratitude. And so I thought that was pretty good. The week before was with the One Boob Larry and the nine, you know, so I thought the same thing. My mother's like, oh my God, every once in a while we listen and my mother closes her ears. She's like, oh gosh. I'm like, all right, so maybe we'll switch it up.
But we'll just be like, we'll just talk about like some food and somehow we'll.
It's very sensual. I just think we're very sensual.
Well, then I
people.
Think we need to tone it down a bit.
You think?
No.
I have a lot of hormones. I have a lot of estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. I don't know. I'm filled with hormones.
Well, you better be. So
I just think that's who we are. And it's an observation that I made when I was listening because we were talking about something really innocuous, like, I don't know, like food. And then someone was like, oh, no, a cucumber. Oh, we're like, cucumber. Like,
yeah.
You know, suddenly it was like, we were talking about salad, and suddenly it was like, what size cucumber do you chop up for your salad? It was something so stupid, and we made it really dirty. Really, really fast. That's the thing. It gets dirty. It gets very dirty very fast.
Ass. I know.
It's
funny. Oh, shut up. You know what, Cooper? It's funny you say that, because I've been thinking the same thing. I'm like, I listen every week, and I just crack up, and all my girlfriends, and everybody loves it, and we get great feedback, but out of nowhere, I'm like, wow, we really do have a lot of sexual undertones. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear.
Okay.
I can hear you guys very, very well. Yeah, we're good. We're in a new studio, so it's a little bit of an adjustment to get used to how everything works and where the knobs are.
Well, I think that was a good
to Dennis is going to work on your knobs.
Dennis is here working on my knobs.
You're lucky. You have Dennis in there.
I got 9-inch Dennis and you're working on my knobs.
This is why you can't concentrate.
So I think we're all set with our microphones now.
Okay, so
the technical stuff is out of the way. Let's get to the important. We are going to actually get to one thing on our list that we said we were going to talk about today.
We are.
We promised.
Exactly. There's lots of good things.
Yeah, so I don't know which one to go. Let me hear about, there's some dog drama going on in Nicole's life. Is this heartbreaking? Because I can't hear bad dog things.
Heartbreaking. Well,
No, but it ends up really good.
Oh, okay.
It ends up really good. Well, not totally good. First of all, my dog Shotzi, her cancer came back in her throat.
Well, it's a mess, but she's good. She's healing.
She's healing. Therese is in total denial, and I'm so happy because she's declaring wonderful, positive words on her every single day. It's like the pink elephant in the room,
amazing.
But no one sees it.
She's amazing. She's healing. She's great, and I do believe in the power of prayer, and she's great every day. This dog's amazing. She runs. She plays. She's very happy. She's amazing.
Okay.
She does. The night before Thanksgiving, we were having our normal family dinner, and my father constantly feeds my dog's table food. We tell him not to. Just so happens, he feeds Shotzi.
I'm holding her.
Therese is holding Shotzi.
He gives her a big piece of steak.
And out of nowhere, my sister could not say fast enough, no! All of a sudden, second later, she starts choking on the piece of steak. So now she's trying to, like,
usually Nicole
get
hooks.
It up.
Usually Nicole will do, like, the hook and sweep. Like,
and I'm really good. Like, when they have curly bones, I've stuck my finger down their throats before and gotten bones out, engorged in their throat.
Right.
But this time, I just could not feel anything. So I'm like, Therese, it's not coming up. And I see, like,
she starts aspirating. You can tell she can't even.
Right. So I'm like, Therese, get her in the car. We need to take her to the hospital right away. So Therese is driving 100 miles an hour. We're, like, 15 minutes from the vet hospital.
With my mom, the three of us in the car.
We're like a nervous wreck. I'm like, go faster. And she's like,
is the dog coughing the whole time? Is she choking?
She's actually like gasping for air.
She's like about to like pass in my arms any second. Like that's how bad it was. I just saw her face. She was in distress. And I'm like, go faster. Therese is like, I'm not going to endanger our lives. She's going now like 100 miles an hour. We get to the vet, the hospital. He takes her right away. He's like, I have to put her out. I could tell she's aspirating.
He's like, she can pass any second because she's not getting air.
Right.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he comes back and says, long story short, he says, there's nothing in her throat. And Nicole goes, yes, the steak is there. Then it must be.
It did not
come
out. It's
got to be in her esophagus anywhere. Maybe it's not right here in a trachea, but it's there. It's in. I know it's there. She can't breathe. He goes, okay, fine.
We need to get a specialist.
An intern. $3,000 later.
Well, it's your family member. You're going
to
pay for it.
And it's worth it. But he says, we need to get an intern now. So they had to wait for the intern to come. She's out cold. They did one sweep, couldn't find anything. They did an endoscopy on her. He comes back out and he says, we got the steak out of her esophagus. It was there. And they took it out. But now they say, listen, she should be fine, but we have to keep her overnight. She can pass. We don't know her lung function because she did aspirate, so some liquid gets in their lungs. They have to see
if she could breathe on her own.
Because of the fact that she did have some thyroid issues in the past. So, but thank God, they said, we'll probably have to keep her 2-3 days. And I said, no. I'm like, okay, fine, doc, whatever. I said, can we just see her, please? He says, you're not really supposed to see her. We happen to have known the vet because Reno plays golf with him.
perfect.
Yeah, perfect. And he's a good friend of ours. So we went in the back where all the dogs were, and she was out cold, so cute, with a little tube in her mouth.
I said,
Shotzi, we love you so much. But that's what I'm saying with the power. Like, our dogs mean the world to us. It's scary.
Right.
Like, you know, Cooper,
yeah.
How your dog is, I mean, Marconi, they are our babies. So I looked at him like, Shotzi, and here I am hysterical crying. This is like for the past hour. We don't know. I said, I love you so much. You need to be strong. You need to hear me. I'm coming back for you. Tomorrow morning. You're coming back. So that was it. Long story short, we come back the next morning. She was great. But I want to tell you a crazy story. Like, people don't sometimes believe. Whatever you believe in is your belief. I never knock it. But I do know my belief, and I do know that it was so amazing. We were coming home, and Nicole and I were driving in the cars like 12:30 at night. And I was like, we have to pray. And I'm like, we have to pray to God. We have to pray. And I'm like, so here we are praying. And I'm like, God, I need a sign. I need to know that she hears me because she's never been in a like cage overnight.
She's never been crated
before.
I'm
like, this is not good. I need to feel that she feels me and hears me right now. Cooper, I'm not exaggerating. the whole car out of nowhere gets the sense, the whole smell when we left her of the vet. It was wild. I'm not joking.
Teresa looks at me and goes.
No, her whole smell. So now I don't even see anything. I swear to you, I'm not joking. Like, I look at Nicole and I don't even say anything. And I'm like, is this just freaky? I'm in the car. I'm like, I'm smelling my clothes. Now, remember, we went home before this.
Right.
And we got changed because we already were, like, took her, whatever. We were actually, long story, coming back from a friend's house. So now, that was a total, that was, don't even ask. I can't even get into that. But anyway.
At 12 o'clock at night, where we were coming back from. But that's
okay. But anyway, so now we're coming, we drop her off, whatever, the whole bit. All of a sudden, I'm looking in the car and I'm like smelling everything. Like, what is that? This is so weird. As we're praying, I ask for a sign. Whole car smells like Shotzi and the whole, when I was kissing her goodbye and the blanket. All of a sudden, I look at Nicole, she goes, are you smelling what I'm smelling?
Are you smelling what I'm
smelling?
And I
go,
and I start, like, I swear,
it was
wild. You were smelling it too?
The same thing.
Yes, that's why we're laughing, because my sister, she's driving, she looks over, and she goes,
like, for a sign.
She looks,
I'm like, I need a sign. I need to feel her.
And I just smiled, and I started laughing, and I go, do you smell it? And she goes, what do you smell, Nicole? And I go,
it's her.
The vet? Shotzi?
Shotzi. I go, when we left her, it was like she was,
it
was like she was telling me, like, I'm okay, I'm going to be okay.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Then just,
and then it just disappeared.
And she is okay.
Perfect.
How's her energy?
She's great. Amazing. Mm. We picked her the next day. The vet could not believe that she was ready to go home. And she was wagging her tail. And she was perfect. They're like,
so
this dog
good.
Is one survivor. Like, she's amazing.
It's
so.
Nicole's dog, though, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know what it is.
Teresa, you told the entire story like it was your dog.
Because you have to understand.
I
want to
get technical. It's my mother's dog.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Really. It's really
but
right.
It's like mine. She's my baby. Tell the connection we have.
It's like, it's amazing. Teresa just has this connection with Shotzi like no other.
It's your third sister.
It is.
Really,
she's my
she
baby
says,
sister.
My sister.
Right,
my
right.
sister. So when Teresa walks into the house, Shotzi goes to her. If she's uncomfortable with what's going on with her right now, she leans on Teresa and she's just at peace.
You know, dogs have their favorites. And when I was, before I met Joe, my boyfriend, I was living with my ex-husband and the dog was definitely, I was the favorite. Like, the dog was my dog. And I remember, like, one day, my ex-husband said to me, like, wow, that's really your dog. And he, oh, you're going to love this. Here's the first thing he said to me when we got divorced. Like, when we decided to get divorced, the first thing out of his mouth was not, this hurts me. I'm sorry. Should we call an attorney?
Oh, no.
The very first thing out of his mouth was, you get the dog. It was the first thing he said.
And you're like, great.
I
want
like,
the dog.
Yeah, because my first thought was, I get the dog. So
exactly.
That, yeah, but what's funny is, so I have this dog. It's my dog. And then I meet Joe, and the dog is like, huh, kind of like this guy.
Aww.
So Joe and I start getting closer. He ends up moving in together, and the dog's like, I think I prefer this guy.
You see?
Now that Joe and I live together, Marconi is Joe's dog. I am like, I pale and goodbye. I walk in. He's like, oh, you also.
Aww,
oh, you're good too. But he's that's my, well, he jumps up on the bed, and he lays on top of Joe. Like, has nothing to do with me. Like, and like, lays on top of Joe and looks over at me like, it's me and him, bitch.
That's so cute. My dog, Tiki, had no connection to my ex-husband when I was married.
Really?
Dogs have connections. They
whatsoever. Yeah. He's my baby. He cannot stand my ex-husband.
Wow.
She is. She is mommy's baby, though. But me and her just have, I have a calmness with her where she knows that,
so
like.
Right. Okay, Teresa.
No.
All right, dog whisperer.
All right.
But she does. Like, Tiki's
Hail
your baby. Tiki's your baby.
Hail to the queen.
Here it is. All right. All right, listen. Hey, listen. So it's all happy. And you know what? We got her there. It was just a busy. It was like, oh my gosh, that happened. And then oh no, this was actually the day before. Then we had my niece's sweet 16. So everything was just one after the other. So. It was just a crazy bang, bang
How weekend. Is it that so much happens to you guys in a week?
It really does.
It's crazy. I mean, literally, like, I just saw you a week ago.
But
and
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The weekend was, like, insane. It was like that. And then my niece is sweet 16. And then my nephew was in from college. So it's like you're cooking. And it's like just there was so much. My house is like Camp of Praia. It really is.
I almost forgot to tell you guys. I met a few people that you know.
Oh.
Wait. Let me tell you the scenario. Okay, I'm doing some work right now. I've been like freelancing a little bit with the Huffington Post, right? I'm doing like a TV thing for them, and so I went to go cover this event the other night in New York City, and the event is called The Big Quiet, okay? Which is exactly what it sounds like. It is 800 people meditating.
Wow.
Okay. So it started out, yeah, there's this thing called Medi Club where it's just this meditation club and people meet once a month. And they're like corporate people and attorneys. They're like regular people. There's no freaks. I was expecting to go there and
see
all these people who are like Burning Man. Like I was expecting painted.
Not Burning Man's funny.
No, it was not. There was not one freak, not one Burning Man person. It was all just average, everyday people who have jobs like accountants and attorneys and just do all kinds of things for a living and students and every age range and every ethnicity. It's really inclusive. Like there were people there that were in their 20s, or people there in their 50s and 60s, some older. It was every ethnicity.
And how long is this for?
Well, this is the cool thing. So they meet once a month and they do this on a smaller level. So they decide to have this event called the Big Quiet, and they have one in Central Park, and like 1,500 people show up.
Ooh, I would have loved that.
And it's just an hour of meditation, but they really organize it really well. This one was at somewhere. This was another event that they did that was at the New York Ethical Society, but 800 people. So everyone comes, they sort of like mull about, whatever. Then once the meditation starts, everybody takes their seat, they take their shoes off, and they get comfortable.
Wow.
And then there's like musicians on a stage, but they're the musicians that are like playing the bowls,
and
like little mini gongs and things.
Oh, that's
that,
so relaxing.
Yeah, and things that just go shh, shh, like little.
Right.
I guess those
do
are musicians.
Do they have drumming as well? There's drumming that's supposed to relax.
Yeah,
you,
normally yes, but they didn't do that for this one. This was just people with bowls and like the fork that you hit and it makes a noise like that. Really, like just very subtle things like that. Very like relaxing and calm.
Very relaxing.
And then there's this really great guy who is just this really handsome, tall guy who was just the instructor. And he just sort of led them through it. Like, now think of this. Now here's your mantra. You don't have to use it if you don't want to, but whatever. So I'm there with my people, my posse from the Huffington Post, and we're covering this for our television show. Like, we're interviewing the guy and whatever. So we had some downtime, and I went and I found this girl who was sitting there just to interview her, right?
Right.
And I start talking to her, and she's like, yeah, I work in reality TV. I'm like, oh, what do you do?
No.
She's like, I work on The Real Housewives of New Jersey. I was like, you do? What do you do? And she's like, I guess she's your...
Lucilla?
No. Her name is Sarah.
Oh, you know
her
what
name
I mean?
Is Sarah, and she's in charge of getting you shit. I don't know. She does stuff like that for you. So then she turns around. She's like, and I know Danny, and Danny's like,
Danny the photographer, the camera guy.
Yeah, the
sound
guy. Sound guy.
I love Danny. I do know Sarah. Danny's my favorite.
Danny's from the UK.
He's from the UK.
Yes, that's him.
I would play Salisbury Hill for him.
Every
time I would play, I'm like, Danny, this is for you, Danny.
Favorite. No, Danny's my favorite, my guy.
Salisbury Hill.
Okay, here's my favorite thing. So I went home and I told Joe, I said, I met this guy, Danny, tonight, who knows the twins.
He's my favorite.
And I said, Danny said to me, when you tell the twins that you know me, they're going to say, we love Danny. He's my favorite. And Joe said to me, listen, the twins are just very social. They know a lot of people.
That's so funny.
You know, they probably know a lot of people named Danny.
They're not
going to know.
He's
adorable. You don't want to make him feel bad. I'm like, I'm telling you, they're going to know him.
He's my favorite mic guy.
See?
And he is. And you know what? Honestly, I always said this. I had we had two different crews kind of for miking. There's a few different ones, miking and camera guys.
Right.
And definitely I had my favorites. I always said, even when we were finished filming RHO and J for the season, I miss those guys so much. I'm like, you guys are my favorite part of, even when we traveled, went to AC, I was like, oh my God.
Florida.
I'm like,
you know, Florida,
they're in your face constantly. Right. Remember, sometimes 6 days a week. In the beginning, it was 6 days, constant. And I always said the crew was my favorite.
Yeah,
the cast I could do without.
Right.
The crew was my favorite. I would have so much fun with them. I'm like, they were so real and it's just so awesome. They took such great care of us. I love them.
I had this weird experience. I was working on a show for Discovery Channel. I was hosting a show called Psych. And this was before the television show Psych. Right. Remember,
you know,
it has like a drama on USA Psych. This was before that. Right. And the concept was, me as a psychologist. And then there was a dude who was like a host, like a co-host. And he was a comedian. And we were testing psychological theories and psychological, I don't know, experiments and stuff like that. And stuff like we would stop people on the street and ask them to do stuff. And then we'd make predictions over what they would do. And I would explain the science. And then afterwards he would, you know, whatever. So while we were doing this, because I was the one that would have to say, now, the reason why this person is doing X, Y, and Z is because of the research says this, I had to have one camera guy that followed me around all the time. This guy, Jake, right? So Jake was looking at me through a camera. So he was just a camera. And I mean, I was aware of him, but I was so busy working that I wasn't like... And one day he just started talking to me like we've been friends forever. And I realized, of course, he's looking at me through a camera all day. I'm his friend.
Right. Like, and he knows you.
I've been talking to him.
He feels intimate with you because he knows you. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I've been talking to him for hours. Like, I mean, I talked to him for hours every single day, you know? You know, which is so weird.
But you know what I have to say? Like, people say, oh, the twins are so friendly and they love... I don't love everyone. I like people, but I have to say, if I know you and I really like you and I have that connection, I do love you. I grow and I get very attached to people, you know? I do. I don't
love... You'll be in my heart forever.
No, but that's true. People know me. Like, once I really know you and trust you, right. You make that connection and you really do have a bond with people, you know, that you do like and care about.
But I feel like with you two, even if you don't like somebody, you just like, you don't love them. You don't, I can't, I've never seen the two of you, I mean, look, I don't know you as well as you know each other, obviously.
No.
But I've never seen you like, oh, I hate that bit. Like, that's just, you don't have that kind of negativity in you,
I try to look at the best in people.
I look at the best, but I think I'm a little bit, I won't waste my energy, but I think I think I'm a little bit less forgiving than you at times, in a sense where I just won't deal with that person.
Mm-hmm. I'm more trusting. I can
Nicole's
say that.
More trusting. I do, and I hate to always bring up about energy, but you do pick up vibes for people.
Right.
You pick up positive, negative. I really pick up on people's energy. If I don't like somebody, don't get me wrong, I won't waste my energy on them, but I will stay away. I have no patience for stupidity. I have no patience for people who aren't nice.
Right, right.
You know?
I think there's a lot of mental instability out there. And I think that, you know, it's interesting. I was talking just today to this girlfriend of mine who was saying that her roommate is very judgmental about anything like depression or anxiety. And if there's anything that comes up in the news about anybody being depressed, she'll send it to her and she'll be like, oh, look at this idiot, or hey, this is just like you. And she makes fun of mental illness all the time.
That's
and I'm like,
nice.
Everybody knows people who are dealing with mental illness. It's bizarre to, you know what I mean? But then I think it's really tough because there are people around you who do have like, one girl I work with is 100% bipolar. Like, there's no question that she's bipolar. Like, and she's unmedicated.
She's unmedicated.
Yeah, unmedicated. So I see people stay away from her, and I feel bad for her because the more they stay away, the worse she gets.
Has anyone tried to talk with her and get help and put her on medication? Because that is a serious
issue. I hope somebody in her life has. But, you know, look, I'm freelance, so I'm barely there. You know, I come in for projects here and there. I come in, like, if there's a TV thing to shoot. Like, this person's not really in my life.
Right.
But I hope that somebody in her life has said something to her. I mean...
No, one thing about me, though, I do, you know me, Nicole, like, I have a lot of people in my life. My friends, I don't like mean people. But there are people, like, I have a huge heart. There are a lot of sad people out that really need help out there. And I'm like, I'm a caretaker. I just want to take care of the world. I want to just help everybody out. Nicole knows me. I take everybody in like, okay, this one's my niece. This one's my nephew. This one's my, you know, I just adopt everybody into my family.
But don't you find people
happy. And I think there are people out there that don't, I'm blessed to have my family and great friends that I welcome people into my family that don't have that, especially around the holidays. I like people to be happy. I think we need to lift people up. I don't run away from negative people. I mean nasty people. When I say negative, like, there are some people that have problems. I don't mean that. I mean, I don't like mean-spirited people.
Right.
Because they're just mean, and I won't deal with that. But then there are people out there that really need our help. And I think especially around the holidays, and we'll get to that about certain holiday feelings. But I think we all need to give back, lift people up, help each other out.
But I think around the holiday, especially like this month, it is a time where you could be like really happy or really sad. It brings up a lot of emotions, I think.
And I hate that about the holidays. Like, holidays shouldn't make you sad. It's just a day. Like, you know, okay, so it's a Wednesday. Like, just like any other Wednesday. Like, what's the difference if it's suddenly Christmas? It's still just a day. You know, it's funny because I was listening to another podcast where the person was saying that they travel a lot and they ended up by themselves quite often on Christmas. And instead of feeling sad about it, they just like, they're like, you know what? I'm just going to be a Jew today. And I'm going to go eat Chinese food. And I'm going to go, and I'm just going to go, like, you know, what do Jews do on Christmas?
Chinese.
You know what I mean? I'm going to go, like, not celebrate Christmas with, you know, a big percentage of the population. So
you come to my house and you meet Jewish friends.
Yes.
I have my cousin's wife. She's Jewish. She's coming to my house for Christmas. I can't wait.
Did you guys put your tree up yet?
No, this weekend, Saturday, I'll do it. I celebrate Hanukkah, too. I love Hanukkah. I have a lot of Jewish friends.
Why are you laughing?
Because Teresa has a Christmas tree upstairs that she keeps up all year round.
I want to tell you something.
Why?
All right, I want to tell you something. Okay. I have my little fancy big Christmas tree that I put in my big family room.
It belongs in the, you know, in the window of a department
store. It's so pretty. But listen, upstairs. And I
hail to the queen.
Oh, shush up. I'm going to beat your
backside. She's the tree whisperer.
You know what? Okay, girls.
Come on. Okay.
Real quick story. I love my Christmas tree. I have a family room. If you look at I think it's on the Bravo website, too, when they did the tour of my house. I think I showed them my Christmas tree because it's my happy tree. It's me and my son. I was single for so many years, 11 years, when he was little. Like 4 years old to like 13. And it's like me and him, every year I get him an ornament, a special ornament that means something to us.
Right.
What we're going through that year, something fun.
And you
know,
give it to him in July.
That we relate. So we put on the tree, So it's my happy tree. And it's like, you know.
I love it when it's like 90 degrees out in the summertime and I go up there to watch a movie and I see the Christmas tree.
All right, listen. It's very cute. It has stuff. You don't understand. It has stuff that I made when I was 5 years old.
I'm going to take a picture, Teresa, and I'm going to put it on social media for
our podcast.
I got to see it.
Hold on.
Yeah.
And wherever we go away, we pick up an ornament. Because
yes.
You, memories. This is like my memory tree. I love it.
How big is it?
It's maybe like, it's probably
six
7 feet.
Oh,
six,
my
seven
God.
Feet. Oh, it's a big tree. We're not talking Charlie Brown Christmas tree here. We're talking
It's
7 foot
It's
Christmas
so pretty.
Tray.
Like we went to like the, you know, we went to the Sagamore. I get an ornament. We go
Niagara
away. Niagara Falls. Everything means something. So it's very special. Stop making fun of me. Talking about the holidays.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I need to stop for a second. You have a 7 foot Christmas tree in your house.
Maybe six.
Okay,
know.
but like a large, not
oh,
like
a large.
Not like
no,
a little
no,
tiny
big.
On a shelf one. You
no,
have a big giant.
Big.
So I walk into a room and
hundreds
it's August.
Hundreds and hundreds of decorations on it. Yes.
I'm going to take a picture of it. Like,
yes,
for instance,
please.
Like, okay, like Light like when my son was 4 years old,
star.
He loved Superman. And then I loved Belle from Walt Disney. So I have a little Belle thing. He has a little Superman. When we went to Walt Disney, I got little Mickey Mouse things.
I understand what ornaments
okay.
are.
Okay.
Everything
we get it,
is
Teresa.
Special.
You're just friggin' perfect. Okay,
I'm
we get
perfect.
It.
No,
you
I'm far
it.
From
okay,
perfect. I'm
it.
Far from perfect. Come on, you have ornaments for your kid.
But doesn't it make
do.
Christmas less special? Like the tree that you have downstairs, it's like, well, it's no better than the tree upstairs.
No. You know what's so funny? I call it my happy tree. It's my happy tree. So every time my son's in there, like, because, you know, my son, that's kind of his den where he watches TV and stuff and we watch movies upstairs. And because my bedroom's on the first floor.
Right.
So that's kind of like his room. And he loves it. I mean, maybe this year I'll take it down and put it back up.
Oh,
don't
why
get
start
me wrong.
Now,
yeah,
Teresa?
Right. You've had it up for 40 years.
No,
just leave it there.
All right, Nicole. I only kept up the past 2 years because my son didn't take it down. It's been like 2 years.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to take a picture
don't
of it. You
start
could all
now.
See on social media my cute little, well, my cute big ass Christmas tree.
Wow.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Let me talk to the normal twin. So, Nicole, will you be putting up a Christmas tree soon?
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I was going to go last night to go get it. But
she
it
gets
raining.
A real tree.
I get a real tree. It smells beautiful. So, yeah.
Me too. I get a real tree because I like the smell of it. I
me
like
too.
Having a real tree in the house. I like the pine needles when they fall. I love all that.
You know, that's what we were talking about, too. You talk about, see, like, the smells and your senses and whatever. We were just saying, and I was taking down little notes the other day, and I was saying, what is your favorite, like, holiday movie? Whatever. Even holiday movie, like, this time
oh,
of year.
Pick me.
Nicole?
I love Elf.
That's Elf,
my happy that's
yours?
Movie. I think it's awesome. I've watched it with the boys
really?
From when they were younger. And I bought the CD, the DVD. I think Elf is just a happy movie. That's my happy Christmas movie.
Why that
movie.
One? What is it about that particular? Because it's a lovely story, but why that one?
I love it. First of all, how could you not cry? Whoever does not cry at the end of Elf, because it's just believing in Christmas.
Really?
Believing in Santa.
I have to see that again.
And it just shows, yeah, that's my favorite.
No, because they say that. They say, I was saying, movies that make you feel warm and
what's yours?
Movies. you know what? I have a lot. Like, I think every...
No.
Okay, I don't...
Miss Christmas Tree.
Miss Christmas Tree.
One Christmas movie. Brown Give me Christmas? One. What's your one favorite?
No, it's not Charlie Brown Christmas. I love Snoopy and everything, but that's not... I would probably think... I mean, I could be like the typical classic, oh, It's a Wonderful Life, but no.
Miracle on 34th Street.
Or like March of the Wooden Soldiers, which kind of I really like, but
that
almost kind of scared
me
when
I
was
a
kid. I like Rudolph because he's cute.
So Rudolph
Remember
is the one you're
Rudolph?
Choosing? You know, you
he's
just chose
cute.
Like eight movies.
I know. No, listen, I have to say, because it's a toss-up between Rudolph and Frosty. Because they're so cute. But they made me cry. Like, I remember as a kid feeling so happy. But they're so cute. But they were saying, look at this. There is a scientific reason
Wait,
why.
I'm not going to let you get to that yet.
Okay.
So he...
I think Rudolph.
I have two things to say. One interesting thing about Rudolph. Did you know that...
Tell me.
That the original story of Santa Claus and the reindeer, there was no Rudolph. Ooh. Rudolph was a creation by this dude who did it for May and Company... For, like, I guess what was the original? Macy's. Before Macy's, whatever the big department store was
really?
Back then in, like, the early 30s. Yeah. So they said to him, you know, the Santa's really great, this whole story. You know, can you create something really interesting for us to market Christmas to families? And he came up with he had a daughter who really loved reindeer. And she was sort of like, she didn't really fit in at her school because she just was a little different. So he created Rudolph specifically for this story, for this, for like May and Company to sell Aww. Clothes during Christmas.
See, I could see that because that's like our life, the lands of misfits. That's like me and all of us.
It's true.
We joke around all the time. We're like, I love Rudolph. See that?
My favorite Christmas movie is Love Actually.
Oh.
That's mine.
They brought that up.
That was a good one.
That's my favorite Christmas movie. I cry every single time. I like all the different stories. I like Richard Curtis, who wrote it, is one of my favorite writers. He wrote The Vicar of Dibley. Like, he's brilliant. The whole story, and I just love it.
And that's the one that they really even brought up, too. A lot of people, they were doing this study.
Okay,
and a
now
lot
you
of
can
people,
talk science. Now you're going to throw some science
okay,
at us. I'm ready now.
They were saying movies that make you feel warm and fuzzy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So they were saying there's a scientific reason why. So, and it's so true because a lot of people picked that movie, Love Actually, because of the fact they were saying when your eye receives images, okay, and then also hears the lyrics. So right away, your optic nerve, okay, sends like, things, you know, like
to your brain,
vibrations to your brain. Okay. And so now the occipital, I was telling Nicole,
the occipital lobe,
lobe. Okay. Which is obviously visual is activated. Then the lyrics, your whole eardrum vibrates. Okay. And then sends messages to your brain. So now this visual part, the ear, you know, your eardrum, the occipital lobe, all these parts are activating your whole sensory. Mm-hmm. So now your whole body actually becomes a chemical reaction does take place, which releases, and I was going to add, there's releases.
Dopamine.
The most, right, and guess what? The most powerful hormone. Do you know which hormone? Guess.
Well, oxytocin?
No. Guess what?
Which,
guess
mean
what?
Like testosterone, estrogen,
you know
progesterone.
What it is? Progesterone.
Really?
Progesterone, yes. And you know the craziest thing? And like, I love physiology and anatomy. So I'm always like reading about it and I went to school for it and stuff. And I'm always, no, but I like this because also like as we talk about it, you learn something new every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was even talking to my son about this, to make him also, to even talk to our kids and our friends, to make them realize why you get that warm and fuzzy feeling when you watch these movies. And it's true from when we're little. And it's like, it helps kids also to understand.
Look at you laying down the science.
Well,
very
you know
nice.
What it is?
Like
because
it.
You're teaching them the occipital,
occipital lobe. Uh-huh.
Yeah, occipital. You let them know, okay, that's the cortex where vision, you know what I mean? You let them know about, so different parts.
So progesterone,
whatever, is released. Which I find so amazing.
Which is warm and fuzzy?
It's the bonding hormone. So all the hearts in your brain, the chemical. So what happens when progesterone is released, it actually just floods the whole body. It dilates your blood vessels. And that's what gives you that flushed feeling and that warm and fuzzy feeling. So when you do feel that, and to me, it's not only holiday movies. you could walk into a department store. I get that when I walk into to Saks Fifth Avenue.
Oh, I get that at Barney's.
Right? But it's true. But you know what? You hear the music playing. You
smell
the
smell of the shoes.
But yes. It's true, and that's and it's so true. It's not just holiday movies. It's true when you something the Love Boat does that to me.
I'm sorry. I just wish everyone could have just seen our face right now when we said Barney's and shoes. It was so sensual. Like
it was so sensual. No, but it's true because every sense in our body is activated. You know what I'm saying? So right. It's like it gets going. Where that happens to me. It's so crazy. From when I was little, I loved cruises. My parents weren't cruise people, so I loved the Love Boat. Till this day, I will be watching it, okay? And then I hear that song, the Love Boat. And I have to tell
yes,
you,
yes, that's my happy song.
And to me, it's like right. This warm and fuzzy feeling comes over me. So I just had to share that with you, girl. So when we see a nice holiday movie and everybody feels that out there, there is really a reason that our bodies just totally take
over. But you know what's so amazing how you said progesterone? The only thing I remember when I hear progesterone, because everyone knows as a woman, estrogen and man, testosterone,
right.
What we need. But I remember progesterone was so important when I was pregnant. And that's the first thing they test for is your levels in progesterone to make sure that those are elevating. And that's how you know you're going to have a healthy pregnancy. And that's the first thing they check for. And I remember Teresa too, right?
When that's interesting.
Yeah, miscarriage. Believe it or not, the progesterone is the main thing that feeds your placenta before that gets all established. That's what keeps the baby all healthy in there.
I know. Nicole was very blessed. You had very easy pregnancies.
But I did, thank God. But I remember the first thing they checked for when I got pregnant was,
being twins.
What's your progesterone level? And as soon as they see that elevating, it's like, boom, you know that baby's going to be.
I'm looking at progesterone because I didn't realize this does. Yeah, you're right. It's all
bonding hormone.
Yeah, bonding hormone.
And I never. And it's so funny because.
And look at that bonding. Isn't it funny when you're pregnant how you know? It's almost like bonding in your pregnancy.
I never realized that.
You know what I'm saying?
That.
Isn't it funny how they call that the bonding hormone? And as you're pregnant, if you're progesterone, it's bonding, and it's bonding
and
with
bonding
the placenta.
With your child. You're bonding, like,
it's bonding.
Physically bonding, emotionally.
It's physically and emotionally
right.
Bonding with the placenta until that's strong enough to keep that baby.
I just love
very
the way. But you know what? I love the fact, and that's why I said it really relates to everything we experience in life. Like, just with amazing. Just our bodies, the way they're made. Like, our bodies are made of chemical reactions. Like,
right.
And it releases this amazing,
but
awesome.
Isn't it funny, too, how different people receive it differently? Like, Teresa, like, New Year's Eve, that song makes her happy. I think that song is depressing.
Yeah.
It makes me sad.
Right, I agree.
Okay? Teresa,
she associates with that happier time.
With the happier time. With me, I think maybe when I was going through my divorce and you think about it and ending the year and starting anew.
It's a depressing song.
It is so friggin' depressing for me.
You know
what I mean?
My
old acquaintance be forgot. So it's like, fuck off, you idiot.
It's like, why the fuck do you have to play that song every New Year's Eve?
Right.
I don't want to hear it.
Right.
I don't.
It's got to be happier songs.
You know what? Play
there.
The friggin' Love Boat. I don't know.
Wait a minute. That's okay. Awesome. We're going to have a New Year's party, and at midnight, we're going to play
Thank you.
The Love Boat.
You know, but you know,
that's my warm.
Be making another run.
That's my warm and fuzzy song. I got to
tell you, it really is. Do you know, as soon as I was old enough, I'm not even joking, now me and all of our girlfriends, I'm not joking, there's about 25 of us every year now. For Easter, we go on a cruise.
Yep.
And when I tell you, I get on that boat, and I am like, a pig
in
mud.
Me too, Teresa.
When they play that
music,
I
look so good. My endorphins, my skin, because I am so happy when I'm on that
cruise. We get on that boat, and when they're playing the drums, and they're all dancing,
and
Nicole and I are like,
when they leave the port.
Okay, let's do one more thing.
One more thing, and then we got to close.
Okay, one more thing. Okay, psychotherapists, okay, and marriage and family therapists, we're talking about working on your relationship.
Oh, okay.
What are the mistakes you make at bedtime that could be ruining your relationship?
Oh.
You know what they said they were?
What?
I had to write them down. One was going, and I'm curious about you guys too, okay? Going to bed at different times was number one.
That it's a problem to do that?
It's a problem.
Well,
if you go to bed at different times,
you better be going to bed at the same time and sleeping with your husband or wife. So,
no, we don't go to bed at the same time.
I always go to bed at the same time. Number one, my husband's in the restaurant business.
Yeah, but sometimes
so half the time,
bed at the same time
most
together.
Of the time when he's home, we do, but most of the time he falls asleep before I do anyway, and I'm kind of watching my tape shows.
On the weekends, we do, when I was doing morning radio, I went to bed at 7. Nobody goes to bed at 7. So we never, for years, we didn't go to bed at the same time. And same thing now. He's a late night guy. I mean, also, his day doesn't start till later. My day starts earlier. So we almost never go to bed at the same time. Okay. So,
I never thought.
So, first one.
Okay.
You
not,
both
not,
up on that
okay,
one.
Not talking a little before you go to bed. They think you should talk a little bit in bed, which I have to be honest with you, great. But my rule is, and I tell my husband this all the time, because I'm like Miss Positivity, and sometimes he's like doom and gloom. I love him, but he's like, you know, he could look at the worst side of things. And he'll come home and be like, I don't know, like, did you see the news? Did you see? And I'm like, or he'll want to talk business.
I don't think
he's
talking
rule, bad. My rule of thumb is, no, I think if it's positive talk or something great, talk about it. If not, when my husband comes home late from the restaurant, after, and I tell him, excuse me, after 10:30, I don't talk. After 10 o'clock, I don't talk business. I tell
We talk like crazy, like to the point where I have to be like, babe, I'm falling asleep.
I'll talk.
Can you stop talking now?
I'll talk, but right. But my rule of thumb, no business. I don't talk business after 10 o'clock. I have to be fresh.
Okay,
or if there's alcohol involved.
All right, what's the next thing on the list?
Okay, taking care of self-grooming. Like, oh, wait, you know what a major problem was, which I think is so gross? Clipping your toenails.
Who clips their toenails?
Is a major problem.
In bed.
Okay?
No, nobody does that.
I'm like, all right, first of all, I get pedicures. Wait a second. Nobody does that? This is hysterical. So now I'm like, nobody does that. I'm walking out of the house today, getting ready to come into the city, and I hear clip, clip, clip. I'm like, this can't be happening. This can't be happening. I look at my husband, and he's clipping his effing toenails. Now,
in bed?
He's clipping them. So now, I swear, I almost lost it. I go, okay, I'm not going to sound like a bitch. But I look at him, I go, are you kidding me? I don't care if you clip your toenails, but you better. Men just sometimes don't think. I'm like, you better have, like, I don't know, a towel underneath, because where are these effing toenails going?
That's right. So
I
gross.
Hear, it's
gross.
I'm like, don't you dare clip your toenails. He's like,
not
I'm fine. I know what
yeah,
I'm
you
doing.
You gotta be grown.
So I guess that's just disgusting. So certain things, I mean, I don't know.
Is there anything else on the list?
No, those are the
top three
things that ruin a relationship. No grooming, which you shouldn't. I mean, personally, you know what I think, Hooper? I really think like the old, you know, like royalty has separate bedrooms. Sometimes I think people need separate bedrooms.
I think that's awesome. Then you just have like your one,
you know,
throne.
Right.
Like,
and,
have,
then
like,
you, and then you have one common,
hot sex.
You have one common bedroom where it's like great. And then sometimes I just think, I don't know, that doesn't probably work all the time. You probably want to snuggle and be cozy at times. And then you're like, okay, bye-bye, see ya. I wish I was a
little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. Wow, that really, that's our closing music. That really hit us, huh? How about that? All right, well, it's that time again, I guess. We have come to another end of this week's Girls in Heels. Thank you so much for listening, and spread the word about us. Please, if you like our podcast, tell people that you know, get them to listen, get them to download. We'd really appreciate that. You can email us, girlsinheelspodcast@gmail.com. Special thanks to our producers, Anthony and Dennis, who produce Girls in Heels every single week. And thank you to Blog Talk Radio for having us.
Yes.
You guys are
thank
awesome.
You.
Love you, girls.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so
love
much.
You.
Have a
thank
beautiful
you, thank you.
Week, everybody.
Teresa, Nicole, and I will be back next week with another exciting episode of Girls in Heels. Thanks
Yay.
Thanks for downloading.